I get to finish part four of this incredible series, Discipled. And if you've missed some of the messages, please jump onto our website, gracelife.co.za, easy to find, and jump on there, go catch up on the messages or any message for the last couple of months. You'll be able to find in there the videos or the MP3, and I want to encourage you to do that. But I get to finish today making disciples, followers of Jesus. So remember, week one, week two, week three, serve like Jesus last week, and today, making disciples. This is probably one of the most important series any church could ever do, really. Because it is one of the last things Jesus said to the church before he went into heaven. Go into all the world to make disciples. So we're going to start off with some motivation here. And I want to try and help you, because if we don't understand why we're doing something, as I've said many, many times before, in order to do the how and the what, it's better to understand the why. Because the why can be the driving force behind what we do. Amen? So Matthew 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he turns around to Peter, and he says to Peter, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter says, "Some say you are this, Elisha the prophet, and you're that, and you're that. But I say you are Christ, the Son of the living God." So you are Jesus, you are the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says to him, "On this rock, on this revelation, I'll build my church." He's not saying on you, Peter, and as the apostle, and then down the line, everyone that you decide is going to be apostle behind you, I'm going to build my church on that person. The church's not built on any one man. Amen? But he says, on the revelation that I am the Messiah, the Son of God, on that revelation, I will build my church. So, an interesting thing there, he doesn't say, "You will build my church." He says, "I will build my church." Say, "I." Jesus builds his church. That's him. He builds his church. And we get to partner with the Lord. "I will build my church." And then he says, "And the gates of Hades," or hell, "will not prevail." So when you read that, think of Normandy, France, that whole beach where the Allied forces, the Americans, the Canadians, I think a couple of South Africans there, the British advance onto those beaches to go into France to topple Germany or Hitler. When Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail, he's not talking from the German perspective. Don't worry. The gates of hell is going to come against the church, or the church, and the church will prevail. The church will stop any onslaught. He's talking from the other perspective, where the church is going to advance against the gates of hell, and they will not prevail. Amen? Is everyone shocked because of the weather this morning? It's like 20 degrees. Like, oh my God, it's freezing. Where's the snow? I need you to preach with me this morning. If you're online, please don't sit there staring at the TV drinking your coffee only. Preach with me. Who's going to preach with me this morning? Can I want to hear those voices? Amen. Otherwise, I go on till 2 o'clock. You know the story. All right. Otherwise, I'll keep having to labor the point because everyone's just staring at me. Okay. So, preach with me. The gates of hell will not prevail, will not overcome it. The gates of hell, thank you, Andy. The gates of hell will not overcome it. It's not the gates of hell trying to overcome the church. It will not be able to prevail against the church's onslaught. God has called the church to impact this world, to populate heaven. Amen. People outside of Jesus are on their way to eternal destiny without him. Whatever hell may be. Oh, Craig, well, it's not just fire. But I don't know what it is. There's a whole lot of stories that Jesus gives and parables and metaphorical things around hell in the New Testament. I don't know what it is. All I can tell you is it's devoid of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. It's not a good, place to end up. And it's not, well, God, how kind of God sends people to hell. God doesn't send anybody to hell. Hell was made for Satan and his minions. You go to hell if you just don't believe in God. Amen. It's like if I jump off a building, I'm going to just drop. That's the way it is. God didn't set it up like that. It's just like that. Amen. Outside of Jesus, everyone outside of the ark drowned. It's just like that because human beings can't breathe underwater. Anyway, Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples. Okay. Verse 18. Then Jesus said to them and said, he came to him, he said this. All authority, say all authority. In heaven and on earth has been given to me. How's that? All authority. Excuse me. My voice is croaking here. Too much shouting at the dogs, at my kids. Shouting at Sean from behind the drums. I can't hear you, Captain. What's this guy on about? All right. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, take it easy. Chill. Go to the beach and tan every day. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Amen. No matter what you're going through this morning, Craig, it's tough, bro. In my life, yeah. Jesus is with you. Amen. Amen. But remember, he's not just with you to get through your tough job because your boss doesn't like you. Or your neighbor's being horrible. Amen. Or you don't like the government. Or you don't like the climate. Or you don't like this or that. He's with you to advance his kingdom. All authority. We're going to jump through a few of these little things here in the scripture. In this text here, but all authority, that is divine power, the right to govern, to have dominion. All authority in heaven and earth, Jesus said, has been given to me. So therefore go. So now he deputizes you and I. He gives us the authority to have dominion wherever we go. Amen. Amen. A lot of Christians use his authority, or they want to have good lives. So they go, I'm going to use that dominion to pray a nice job for myself and get a good salary and a nice home and a nice car. And I'm going to use that authority to find a nice husband and wife, and then we're going to have a great family. I'm going to use my authority to be successful in this life. Sir, you're missing the point of all of that. You understand what I'm saying? You can go out, be stuck on the side of the road, and a massive pentecanican comes down and you jump out and you say, stop, I need help in my car here. That guy drives right past you. He don't give a rip. But you don a metro uniform, a Tequeni metro with a blue light car there. And there's two, or there's one guy sitting there, and you stand there and you go like this. That guy's got to pull over because you carry authority from government, not your own. But the authority is not to do what you want to do. Unfortunately, a lot of people in authority have that mindset. This is for me and my own little things. Actually, no, it's to represent the government and do what they've asked you to do, because you're an ambassador, essentially, to the government. You represent them. Amen. And so the Lord gives us authority to represent him and do what he's called us. That's why he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go. Amen. We have the right to control, the right to, sir, you in a marriage, you have government from God to have dominion over your family. Not to control your wife and your children, but to lead well. Amen. Amen. Now listen, you might make mistakes here and there, but as long as you're taking one step in front of the next and becoming more like Jesus as you grow in this life. Amen. was saying earlier, if you live with your girlfriend or your boyfriend or even your fiance and you believe in Jesus, you are completely misunderstanding authority. And you're going to have a very hard time once you get married to even try and exercise that authority, because no woman's going to respect a man who doesn't love her. Amen? And so, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. If you encourage her to move in with you, you're not loving her, you're loving yourself. You're setting her up for failure. You're using dominion and government the wrong way. You're using it for yourself. Who's with me? You're not using it for the correct thing. You don't love that person if you ask them to move in with you and they're not married to you. You just love what they can do for you. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. If you say yes to that setup and you move in there, you're not submitted to Jesus, because he wouldn't want that. Not because he wants to control your life. He wants to govern you so that things will go well for you. Who's with me? So I say, you say no to that because I'm submitted to the Lord, not to you. And one day when we do get married, I'll find it easy to submit to you because I know how to submit to Jesus. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. If you don't know how the as to works, it's not going to work the other way. Husbands, love your wives just like Christ loved the church. If you don't love the way Jesus loved the church, you can't love your wife the same way. You're going to have a horrid marriage when the husband's not loving and the wife's not submitting. Who's had that kind of relationship? Woo! Don't end well. Amen. And what the flesh starts, Jesus said, the flesh is going to continue. Don't start in the flesh before you even married. Therefore, go. And that word go is like in your going. In your living, in the way you move, in your day-to-day, 24-7, go, not go and make yourself a nice cushy life. Picket fence, a nice house. The Lord doesn't mind you having those things. Amen? He doesn't mind you having a vehicle and some this and a jet ski even. He doesn't mind you having good things. Amen? I've said this many times. I've got a watch. This watch is like 2,500 rand when I got it like 9 years ago. It's a piece. It was given to me. I didn't need this. I could have had a 200 rand watch. Billabong. Remember the Billabong watches? But the Lord said, son, I love you. I know your heart is for me. I want you to have nice things. Yeah, have a Billabong watch. Have a police watch. I was like, that's amazing. Amen. God doesn't want you. He doesn't mind you having nice things. As long as the nice things don't have you. Therefore, go, make disciples. That word make is the make disciples. That phrase is matateo in the Greek. It means to teach, to become, or to make. So there's two, in the Greek is an active voice and a passive voice, the way the Greek words are, the way the Greek language is. So there's two places that this phrase is used. In this one, it says active voice, making disciples. When used actively, it means to be enroll someone as a scholar, train them and lead them to become a follower or an apprentice of a teacher. So I'll ask you this question. Who here in this room today, don't put your hands up, has enrolled someone as an apprentice to them? They are teaching them and showing them the way and how to walk like Jesus. If you've been saved 1 month, okay, 2 months, 1 year, well, you should be doing 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, and you're still not doing this. You've missed the point of Christianity altogether. It's the truth. The church is immature and weak because most people don't understand what this means. They think coming to church is being discipled. That's not it. Making disciples is part of what God calls us to do. Amen. To enroll someone as a scholar. Who's enrolled someone as a scholar? And they come, I want you to follow me. Train them. Who's training someone here ongoingly? Who's training? Sitting with someone, chair to chair, chatting about the gospel. How's it going in your marriage? How's it going with the work? Oh, no, hey, yo, that, who's doing that? Oh, Craig, that's reserved for the preachers, the pastors up front. No, it's not. Jesus was talking to the church here. Amen. Oh, Craig, I can't do that. Like, I'm not you, you know. No, you have authority. That's why you carry authority. You don't know who you are. Amen. The reason why we have authority is not to be shy. Well, I promise you, in your workplace, you're not shy. For your boss, you're not shy. Out for your clients, you're not shy. But comes this, oh no, I become religious. I just sit and I just watch and you run around. No, if we're going to be the church God's called us to be friends in this day and age, in this end times, we need to be what he's called us to be. Amen. Every one of us. Every single one of us. And then passively, being a disciple, when used passively, it means to undergo the process of learning, training, becoming a pupil. For example, Matthew 27:57, it describes Joseph of Arimathea as having become a disciple. So it means to undergo the process of training, learning, and becoming a pupil. Don't put your hand up, but here's the thing. Who in this room is becoming, learning, and training to become something? If you come to Grace Life once a week on a Sunday and sit here for an hour and come back next week, you've missed the point completely of what it means to be a disciple. You can't train like that. Amen. How does that work? How will you ever become what God's called you to become if you do it 4 hours a month? Never. It'll never happen. That's not how discipleship worked in the New Testament and in Jesus' day. The process of learning, training, or becoming a disciple. You know what? Grace Life, we are a high challenge culture here. We will not let you get away with just moving around doing nothing. We will challenge you all the time. You know why? Because Jesus tells us in the scriptures to do that. Jesus said to his disciples often, "You have little faith. Oh, you have little faith. Oh, you have little faith." Why? Because our faith and what we believe is the root cause of everything I'm talking about now. If it's strong and I believe I am who God says I am, I will outwork this stuff. If it's not, I will be like someone in the world. I will tick boxes in my Christianity. And so Jesus says, "You have little faith. What are you doing?" We've got the growth track. If you've been here for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, you should be on that growth track. You should have finished already. You should be signing up and serving somewhere. Why? Because I want to be a disciple. I want to grow and train. Iron sharpens iron. Amen. And we'll keep on doing this until we see God's fruit flow through the church. I would rather have, we got 400 or 500 people on a Sunday morning over the two meetings. I'd rather have 150 people that are powerful and love God and want to change the world than 1,000 who don't really care, just full of apathy, just ticking off a box. We'll get way further with that 150. It'll be a much easier job for the leaders. Amen? Jeez, Craig, what are you saying? I'm just saying, let's be who Jesus calls us to be. Amen? One day when you get to heaven, you're going to see I'm right. And you're going to wish you had listened to that little oaf from Marasbra. Amen. Sign me up. Where's the growth track? There. Okay. How do I get involved? What can I read? What books can I get involved? What can I do to become more like Jesus? I'm a disciple. I want to get trained up. It's a value that we have as a church. All nations. Make disciples of all nations. Acts 1:8, it says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." It's the bluff. It's off the bluff. It's in another city. It's in another nation. Amen? This is what he says. Dawn and I went to India in 2003 for ministry. Went to Brazil in 2006. I've still got a pair of slops that I bought in Rio de Janeiro. In 2006, that I still wear today. What kind? Who made those slops? They're 20 years old and I still wear them. What even? In 2009, I went to Hong Kong on my own for ministry. And we haven't traveled internationally since then. And there's been questions asked, men and women that we connect with, and saying, "Craig, one thing you lack." I was like, it's been a time that we felt God say, "I want you to just hone in on the local church, get it secure, get it strong, get it mature. Amen? But I know God's calling. He's wanted to speak to us about traveling. We've been to Klerksdorp. It's like saying, son, there's greater things for you. Amen. Teaching them. Didasko. That's the word, teaching. To teach, instruct, to provide information in a manner intended to produce understanding. I want to, with all the pastoral juices I can muster this morning, I want to say this. The goal of teaching is not the leader's job. It's we teach each other. We're supposed to be helping each other become who God's called us to be. Go into all the world and teach. Teach. Who, Craig? Every one of us. We are the body of Christ. Amen? When you walked in here this morning, your head, your brain decided what is happening and your entire body followed suit, did it not? Everything, every part of you. Take a look at your hands quickly this morning in front of you. Just go like that. Okay, is your pinky there? All right. See, it followed. We think, as Christians, that half the body doesn't have to be here. It's like I can just leave this on the beach and I can leave this there and I can leave. Friends, our whole body's together, which means when we come together, we are together. Amen. Every part is just as important as the next. Some parts of the body that you can't see are more important than the parts that you can see. It's better to lose your eye than lose your C2 vertebra. Amen. Every part's important. Training. This implies that our teaching should not just be about imparting knowledge, but about inspiring obedience and transformation. Satan is incredibly astute and strategic in making war against the church. He doesn't care if you care, as long as you come just to try and change the way you live or trying to, like, okay, well, I've got some addictions and things, I'll listen and hopefully I'll feel better tomorrow. That is the least of your things. The power of God in me is supposed to change me. Amen. There's people that have been born again for 10, 15 years that still smoke cigarettes. You're not going to hell if you smoke cigarettes, but you smell like you come from there. What I'm trying to say is this. It's an addiction. Jesus called us to be free from everything. But if you can't be free in yourself, how do you make other people free? You can't. Satan goes, don't worry about it, man. Don't worry about this guy complaining and moaning about that. You just carry, you do your life. Because he knows. He can keep me immature. He can keep me bound up in guilt and shame. He can keep me stuck in this thing, in the slave. I'm no longer a slave. I'm a son of God. I have the authority in me to say no. Someone came up to me and said, Craig, yesterday I was having a smoke today, 4 hours. And I'm great, bro. Come, let me hold your hand. Father, thank you for this man. Thank you for the authority that he carries, Lord, that he is free in Jesus' name. Because free people, friends, free people. Slaves make slaves of others. Oh, Craig, I'm not coming back to this church. I want to continue my thing. Fine. Amen. We'll talk in 5 years from now. 10 years. I'll see you in heaven one day, and you'll see I was correct. And then you wish you'd listened to me that same day. My mom came back to the Lord after 3-4 months. She was still smoking. She left her cigarettes on the chair, and she walked out. In Marisburg, left the half pack of cigarettes on the chair and walked out. Some of you need to leave your half pack of cigarettes on the chair and walk out. Amen. I'm telling you. Oh, Greg, I can't do that. I need that thing. No, you don't. Calms my nerves. I don't need anything to calm my nerves. You didn't get born with a cigarette in your mouth. And God said, when your nerves are shot, smoke that, son. You didn't say that. Amen. Or drink this, or take that. Anyway, I'm trying to be pastoral there. Obey. Teaching them to obey. It's like, Craig, who is this for? It's for the preachers and the teachers. No, it's for the body of Christ. Man, think about this world we're living in. Friends, it's just going to get darker. Amen. But the brightness of the church is going to get brighter. That's what we're told in Isaiah. Don't be left behind. Now, I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm talking about the plan, the purpose of God. To watch over. That word obey and teach them to obey. Listen to this. That word obey is to guard and protect. That thing wouldn't be lost and it would fulfill its mandate or fulfill the thing it's supposed to do. You'd protect it. It's like treasure at home. I give you R1 million. I say, it's in your house. I want you to protect this. And you go, yeah, no worries. Leave the doors open. Go away for a few days. You're not going to leave your house. Because if you protect that, it's going to be yours after 2 weeks. Amen. That's the word obey. It's to protect the word of God in you. I've got to teach you. Come sit with me so I can teach you how to protect the word of God in you. Because Satan wants to leak out. He comes to rob, kill, and destroy. And he comes to steal the word that's in your heart. Amen. So I have to teach you to protect it. Because I've learned to protect it in my life. Amen. Satan wants to destroy it. So Jesus says, go and teach them to obey, to protect, make disciples. In other words, Craig, be an active disciple maker and be a disciple yourself. Nicholas, be an active disciple maker. Who are you discipling? And be a disciple yourself. Who's discipling you? You got a problem. Amen. Hey, Craig, you preach hard stuff. This is Matthew 28. This was in the Bible 100 years ago. I didn't make it up. I'm trying to bring it in now. It was in the Bible 300 years ago. 1,000 years ago. It is in the Word of God long before you were born. You just don't know it. For the most part, we are biblically illiterate. Amen. I was come to Sunday. Have some nice coffee and go home. Help us, Jesus. I'm almost finished. Another hour and a half. To obey, a few things I've suggested. Teach them to obey a couple things that I've kind of suggested for this life, Craig. Hopefully they take them. If they don't, hey, well, what can I do about that, son? I did my part and I'm in heaven now. Look what it says. Look what it says. Look what it says. Everything I've commanded. Amen. This is, like I say, friends, you know, we're in a heart challenge. Grace Life is a heart challenge. We want that heart challenge culture because you want to challenge people to go from one place. What's your next step in the Lord? What's your next? If you're addicted to substance as a believer, your next step is to overcome that. That's your next step. That is your next step. Don't expect God to speak to you about other stuff when you don't do the thing he's called you to do today. Amen. You live with a girlfriend. I'm waiting. Hey, Lord, speak to me. He spoke to you yesterday. Amen. What's my next step? We're climbing a mountain together. Mount Kilimanjaro. I've got a couple of Sherpas and someone who knows. Hey, what's my next step up there? Just take us one this direction. Okay. No, I don't want to do that. I just want to get to the top. No, this is your next step. What's your next step? I've been at Grace Life 3 months. Your next step is the growth track. Step number one. Then step number two, step number three, then the dream team. Then what do you do? Sign me up. Why? I want to immerse myself in the culture of the kingdom to become who God's calling me to become. Oh, Craig, I don't like this church and you're too hard. Fine, then find another church. Don't waste your time here. Find a place where you can go in and get stuck in and get serving and become the disciple God's called you to become and make disciples. Oh, Craig, I like Grace Life. Then we're going to keep challenging you. We're not going to let you drift because Jesus doesn't let that happen. Amen. The Holy Spirit's always calling us to greater degrees of fruitfulness. Greater degrees. Those he prunes. He cuts off and prunes. When you prune a tree, a fruit tree, do you only prune the bad stuff? That's not pruning. That's cutting off. Pruning, you'll go and prune some of the good things to let other good things become more evident. Who's with me? That's what pruning is. So you might have things in your life, friends, that actually seems fairly good. The Lord wants to cut them off. Oh, well, you'll never do that. That's Satan. No, that's Jesus trying to prune that thing off your life because it's distracting you. Who's with me? Are you controlling it, Pastor? No, that's Jesus pruning you to become everything he's called you to become. Okay, two big points and I'm done. It won't be easy. Making disciples and being an active participant in the Great Commission is not an easy task. There is a very real opposition to the mission and a very real enemy who doesn't want to see you or me come to mature and productive faith, let alone come to the point of reproduction. Mature people reproduce. When you see a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old having a baby, we're like, oh my God, someone call the cops. Who's with me? But when you see a married couple, she's 30, he's 37, they've got no children, you're wondering like, what's happening? No, we're struggling, you have babies. No, we decide we never want to have children. Okay, but it's unusual, is it not? Because they're mature in their life and you think they're going to reproduce. You see, in the church, we have parents, we have people that are 40, 50, 60, never reproduced. Spiritual children. And we think that's fine. That's like normal. Amen. When you mature, you're supposed to reproduce. Satan wants to stop you from doing anything, let alone reproduce disciples. Because the more disciples get reproduced, the more we impact this world, the shorter his time is on this planet. Who's with me? Only three of you. I'm done with this. Robbie Gallaty, in Growing Up, How to Be a Disciple Who Makes Disciples, this is his book. He says, when a church becomes an end to itself, it ends. When kids' ministry, as grace as it is, becomes an end to itself, it comes to an end. When life group ministries become an end to themselves, they end. When the praise and worship becomes an end to itself, it ends. What we need is for discipleship to become the goal. And then the process never ends. The process is fluid, moving, and active. It is living. It must continue on. Every disciple must make disciples. It's not about conversion. It's about transformation. Amen. It's like we see challenge and conviction, admonishment as abnormal because we don't get that in our lives. So then what happens is when it does come, this is tough, this is hard. Actually, in the kingdom, it's normal. We get pruned, the Lord prunes us, but the problem is for the most part, we're just deaf. We don't want to listen. And we go round and round and round and round the same mountain over and over like the Israelites in the desert, always just having, because we're not being obedient. We of little faith. Amen? It's about changing the world. Number two, why don't we stand together? Satan is the god of this world, Paul tells us in Corinthians. He is the god of this world. Jesus calls us to reconcile people to him. In Revelation chapter 12, it says that Satan is making war against the church. Don't think, if you're a believer, that you have no issues with the enemy. Satan is at war against the church. Every part of the church. When there's an enemy, and you're in a battle for life, a war, let's say a war in Russia, and Ukraine, there's people fighting. If someone can take out someone's hand, they'll do it. If they can shoot their shoulder, they will shoot their shoulder. If I can shoot your foot, I can injure you in any way I can. If I can shoot you in the head, even better, you're dead. Satan is at war against every part of the body. Any part that can be injured, he's going to try and take you out. How do we stop that? Number one, by becoming mature, by being trained and growing. There's no army in the world that doesn't train its soldiers. Well, maybe there is one or two. That's why this army's like it is. At the end of the day, God's called us to be powerful, to take the enemy, the fight to him, discipled and making disciples, because that is the strength, friends. Who's with me? It's a massive task with eternal consequences, and we are not alone because we have the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus, I'll be with you till the end of the age, Craig. You keep on going. You keep on going. You keep on preaching. I want to tell you, friends, you keep on going. What is your next step? Think about it today. What's my next step? What is the next thing God's calling me to take so I can become like Him? So why don't we close our eyes just quick? I'd love to pray. If you don't know Jesus, you've never given your life to the Lord. Every eye closed this morning. You've never given your life to Jesus. You're not born again. If that's you, I'd love you to raise your hand as high as you can. I want to get something into your hands and pray with you. If that's you this morning. Everyone, if that's you this morning, your hand, you don't know Jesus. You've never given your life to the Lord. Why don't you raise your hand nice and high? And then secondly, if you have given your life to Jesus in the past, and you're saying, Craig, I've goofed off, I backslid, but I'm back. If that's you, I'd love you to raise your hand. If you fell away from Jesus, but you've come back this morning, you're saying, Craig, I want to walk this road as you've called me to walk it. I want to tell you now, if you backslid, you've always been a believer. You've always been a son or a daughter of God. You've not lost your salvation, but you've fallen back into the world. Satan wants to tempt us and rob the word of us so that we can fall back into the old patterns of living. So Father, you see the hands that are up through this, and I pray that from today they will change and never go back to where they were, God. Never. Let them take their next step in you to grow in what you've called them to. And then again, last thing I want to pray for, every eye closed. If I've been talking this morning around the subject of discipleship, of making disciples and being a disciple. You say, Craig, I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for me that I would become a disciple and that I would make disciples and outwork the destiny God's called me to outwork in Jesus' name. If that's you, why don't you lift your hand up nice and high? Don't be shy. Sometimes an act of faith, lifting our hands is an act of faith. When Jesus said, you have little faith, sometimes they have to do something in order to change that. That's you. Put your hand up nice and high. Lord, you see their hands up this morning. Every man and woman that has their hands up, Father God, touch them by the power of God. And I pray that from today on, they will take that step of being disciples and making disciples, Lord. Let them find someone and say, help me become more like Jesus. Transform me on the inside that I'm able to do the work He's called me to do and become, He's called me to become, to take the battle to the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen.